Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views, from absinthe to Zinfandel, popping your cork since July 2017.
Welcome to It's the Drink Talking. I am Sam Capon, otherwise known as Mistress of Wine, and I'm joined by the delightful, funny, handsome, knowledgeable, and all-round alcohol champions,
Tom
and Ben.
Thank you.
Otherwise known as the Thinking Drinkers, my very good friends. Oh. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Sam. It's lovely to be here again.
You are equally beautiful. I'm not going to say I'm not. You're equally beautiful and
knowledgeable.
And knowledgeable.
So. Thanks very much. So I'm kicking off the podcast today with the Spit and Swallow.
Okay.
Go. Right.
And my first one is, you know what? I just saw it and I thought that's just a bit lame. Hmm. And it is...
Ben. I love pauses where I can insert Ben's name.
It is something touring the country next year called Prosecco and Balls.
Balls?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Have you heard about this?
I haven't.
No, where is it?
I'm all ears.
An adult only ball pit.
Oh my god. I'm familiar with these things.
Oh, yeah, for baby adults.
We have a friend and listener, a guy called Jonathan Downey, who runs the exceptional Street Feast. Mm. Do you know these?
They're
food.
Brutal.
Done an amazing job with street food. And he recently took a picture and put it on social media. He said he was tagging the man babies that were coming out of the one in East London so that they wouldn't be permitted to his own venues. They are an outrage. You've picked a good one, Sam. Tell us more.
Well, there's literally not much to tell. So basically, the tour in the UK, I think this year and next year, it's called Prosecco and Balls. I saw this on the wonderful Drinks Business website, and it basically just says it's touring around 42 locations across the country. It's in a bar with 250,000 balls, 1,000 inflatables.
And 25 bellends.
Oh my God.
So basically...
I mean, it's giving Prosecco a bad name. I'm going to start there.
Is also just, I think, on if I've got this right, I think might just be from draft. So it's Prosecco on draft. Ooh. It's basically Italian sparkling cocktails.
So they get
lollipops.
A going home bag as well. These people just got to grow them up.
I did look at this and just think... Losers.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was...
I mean, I assume they can only get there by skateboard or...
If it was like, yeah, or those hoverboards.
Segways.
Things.
Yeah, or even scooters. Like scooters, the ones our children use. Yeah. I've seen adults on those.
I mean, if you've taken your kid to nursery and they've ridden it there and you're in a rush...
You might want to ride it back.
That's the only...
And we've got a skate park, actually, in my village, and there's a number of guys who look really cool who do bum around on skaters. All ages. I'm thinking more teens here, if
that's
I'm honest.
Fine, yeah. Well, it's just teenage
also,
pursuit.
We are all parents of small children, and I would like to say I do like to celebrate the different. I think everyone has got a variety of hobbies, and it's good that everyone's different, but... What the fuck? Really?
Yeah, rolling about in balls is not a hobby.
Well, I can't do it ever since I saw it in IKEA. I saw a
shit.
No, I think we talked about it. No. Well, he was a little shit, actually, yeah, but not because of that. He puked.
Well, that's standard.
Yeah.
I've had to do a nappy change for my 1-year-old coming out of one of those things, and he's got shit all over his legs. Yeah. So there's no way that shit has not gone on some of those balls.
Okay,
no
can I just say, I think that's a slightly different thing with adults. I'd like to think the shitting and puking is on where the balls come from. They'll be secondhand. True. They'll be from, presumably, now, a child's...
Going back to my days when I was single,
if it was like speed dating in a ball pit,
No, not in the current climate, Ben.
But that is different times back then.
Let's spin that story the other way and say this is potentially... Open to abuse.
That's what I was about to say.
Some of the men and women.
Can I rewind that even further? To be like, let's go back to right at the beginning of that question and just basically go, okay, imagine you've swiped whichever way it is on Tinder. You're hooking up with your fella or lady. Maybe this is your first or second date and the bombshell is dropped that they're taking you to... Prosecco and balls. Would that be the last date?
Yeah, no, like so many of my second dates, that is what I would have suggested. I mean, while we're talking about phallic innuendo, I just wanted to point out...
We weren't, were we?
We are now. I just bought a coffee from Starbucks. They put your name on there so they personalise it by putting it on in a marker pen. And then they put a letter on or some sort of mark.
Why have you got an A on?
Well, it's funny you should think that looks like an A because I'm going to show it to Ben in a minute. And it's right next to a hand, which is on there celebrating the joys of Christmas. And I'm going to suggest, Ben, that looks,
it looks like a willy.
It looks a bit like a penis. And I just think that's a bit
graphic. If you work in Starbucks and you're doing that 200 times a day, drawing a bell end on a, on every fourth Americano would be...
Especially when they looked at me, they might have been a comment on who I was. But we're going to stick that onto social media, that picture, so you can judge for yourself, with a hashtag. Should we create a hashtag, listeners? What's the...
It's the drink talking, maybe. Okay. I don't know.
That's a good,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
I know it's a good one.
Or ITDT. No.
Hashtag it's the drink.
Yeah, right, I think that's better. Right. So that was my spit.
Oh, brilliant. It made me so angry when you just said it. I was like, Prosecco and balls, where's this going? And then you told us where it was going. And I was it was like electricity. Like, oh, God, you've got to be kidding me. There's a dickhead. Oh, good one.
Thanks. My swallow is a little less emotive. I'm glad you both appreciated that. It's sort of innovation in the sparkling wine sector, which I did end up coming down on the swallow side, but part of it is a little bit spit. Have any of you chaps in the summer come across any of these ice drinks? So Moët has brought out a Moët Ice.
No.
Have you
seen
it?
I have not seen
this. Okay.
We spent our summers up in Scotland, so...
Okay, not living up in Barcelona somewhere.
No.
So they brought it out and... I perceive it to be for sort of swanky kind of bars in Saint-Tropez and, you know, you serve it over ice and put garnishes in. So it's almost like a Pimm's equivalent.
So it's not a slush puppy, it's not like an
it's a bottle of champagne.
Is it like a Magners? I remember Magners did it over ice, but with...
Well,
it's a mix between a Magners and a gin and tonic.
This is a curious thing, because it's a bottle of champagne. Like, the Moët Ice is champagne. It's been made like champagne. It's the same price as normal champagne. It's 45 quid a bottle. So it's not to be...
Sniff that.
Mm-hmm. It's expensive. And then we've had this conversation in the previous podcast about my feelings with ice and alcohol. So basically you're spending 45 quid in a bottle of champagne and then you pour it over a load of ice and then garnish it with various things to make it look pretty and then sort of drink it in the sun. So I ultimately put it down into my swallow because I applaud the innovation in the wine category. I applaud the fact that people are trying to do new things, maybe, you know, appeal to millennials or what have you. But equally, personally, I've tried it and I don't rate it.
Also, is it really innovation just to pour something over ice? I think that's...
It will be a different blend.
Can I just... And when they pour it over ice, are they pouring it into, like, a carafe or individual glasses?
Okay, so interesting, not in flutes. They're served more in kind of balloon glasses.
Like the sort of Bombay Sapphire G&T glasses.
Yeah, exactly. Or, I can show you, I've got a photo in my phone. They're served in Moët-branded sort of plastic beach size.
Stick it on Instagram. Let's see what
glasses, you know.
Well, I think, I mean, it is innovation, but it's all rather dark, the dark forces.
The dark arts.
Because like Magners, all those years ago, it's all about theatre. And when you're in a pub or bar or club, people are going to look and go, what is that? That looks different.
And
then you're carrying around
sparkles.
A bottle as well.
Yeah.
And so it's
a good point.
It's all
it was quite
about
a nice theatre when had it done.
Yeah.
But interestingly, outside of the champagne category, but within the sparkling wine category, which is something I do think is really interesting. So, you know, Freyssinet is a massive cava producer,
yeah.
and they've actually brought out a Prosecco. So they, yes,
and that's
so
innovation.
Well, I think that's really smart. They've gone, okay, Carver doesn't sell as well, Prosecco does, so they've used their brand, which is well established, and brought out a Prosecco, and they put it in a really funky, kind of slightly knobbly bottle.
Mm.
It's quite funky. And not just that, but they've also jumped on this ice bandwagon.
Yeah, okay.
And interestingly, because the reason that made me think of this was I was flicking through a magazine the other day, and I'll show you, I've got a photo here. Sorry, listeners, it's not so good for you. And interestingly, because I would have thought any of these ice drinks are classic summer drinks.
Right.
But also, what they've done is they've remarketed it for winter. And they've called it White Christmas. And the Freixenet, they've got two. They've got Freixenet Ice Rosé Semi-Secco, which is basically demi-sec, so it's sweet. And then a normal non-rosé, just, you know, white one. And they've managed to kind of pour it over sort of cranberry and pomegranate. Mm.
It looks a bit like an Aperol Spritz.
It looks just like an Aperol Spritz.
That's quite smart.
So basically, welcome to Freixenet Ice, a new kind of carver. Fruity, fresh, and specially created to be served over ice. They're both semi-seccos, that's basically sweetish. In Spain, they love to sip it alongside tapas, but basically saying it's brilliant for cocktails and to add extra sparkle to Christmas.
I like the look
and
of the drink.
I just thought that was kind of, you know, I'm not sure it's for me.
No,
I'm not sure any of the ice drinks are for me because of previous conversations on dilution, and it just wouldn't be what I would choose to drink. But I just thought champagne generally caters to a specific market and a specific occasion. I think it seems to have been quite sophisticated, and they've gone for something that's a bit more...
Party,
beachy, and to suit other occasions. And I thought that was applauded.
Yeah, at least they're having a go.
Go.
Like you say, it's not for me. I think the white bottle alone makes something that makes me shudder a bit.
But again,
that's not for me.
45 quid on a bottle of champagne. If you spent 45 quid, or I'm just saying 45 roughly.
God, yeah. I'd get vintage champagne for that.
Also, a really nice bottle of
white wine.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, you're Cheers. Absolutely
right. It was a very
right.
sort of Simon Evans said on the previous podcast, wasn't it? And that was one of the most astute things that's been said about champagne on this podcast.
Because I love... Fuck off.
including this one, listeners.
I love champagne. And in fact, I went to a lovely... tasting on Monday that was matching vintage champagne with Japanese food, because Japanese food is quite delicate and vintage champagne is just bloody delicious. So for me, I would never go for a Moët Ice if I could get a vintage champagne that has all the complexity and interest and would be amazing with Christmas turkey.
And would be amazing with a ball pit.
Well, after a good hour in a ball pit,
I want champagne
some
ice.
Moët ice.
Yeah,
do it, man.
Do it.
And then I'm just going to skate all the way home, dudes.
Yeah.
Cowabunga.
And my last bit of innovation in the sparkling wine category was...
Corks.
which I thought was quite interesting. There's a champagne coming out in the new year by a guy called Henri... Giraud, have I said that
Where's
right?
It from?
Champagne. I'm just going to show this to Ben because he's the French speaker.
Yeah.
Henri Giraud.
It's like
Henri Giraud.
And,
the Arsenal player.
Henri Giraud.
And he's bringing out a champagne called Esprit Nature, and on the label he's saying that it's pesticide free, which I would suggest is a first.
Is that not just organic?
No.
Because you can use organic pesticides.
Yeah.
So it's just gone for those spiders that you have previously said you
so
don't like.
Is it a natural
just relying
wine?
On the spiders to.
It's a
wine. It's spider wine.
Yeah.
It's a basically it's a wine that has basically had no pesticides.
Okay, we got that. I know, but is it like a biodynamic or anything like that?
No.
You couldn't say it's natural.
It probably is natural.
It's about as natural as you can get there.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to know more about this because they might be some like super spiders that are just wicked at their job.
There's no information given about spiders, and it's not organic or biodynamic certified, but he's been using no pesticides or weed killers for around 30 years.
Mm.
There's certain trace elements that you can look for, and basically all that stuff is not in his wine.
Mm.
And... pesticide usage is an interesting one, I think, in wines. And also the labelling of wines. For years, people have been banging on about whether ingredients should be listed on wine. I mean, you know, grapes.
I wonder what sort of legs a spider wine would have.
Yeah. I wonder, can you buy it on the web?
Mm. I'm just trying to think of them on the fly now.
I think it did quite well.
I'm
you're just crawling.
Depends how you want to store it, because I'd rather stand them up because I've got arachnophobia.
That was laboured.
That was a bit laboured.
Thank you very much. Right, let's move on. That's a good swallow.
But that's it. So just the sparkling wine category, coming up with all-round drinking solutions, and I think trying to come up with new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to sell more of their gear, basically. Yeah. But
let's be honest.
Well, shoddy plonk.
So that's me, which means now we're on to you, Benjamin.
Good.
Well, are you Benjamin?
No, I'm not. I'm
Benedict.
Just a Ben.
He's a Benedict.
Are you,
he's a Benedict.
And are you Thomas, or are you
I'm
just
a
Tom?
Thomas to my family, yeah, but Ben's a Benedict. I just I know. Again, I'm just a, in case I'm that gets cut.
I'm just a Ben.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
You're listening to It's the Drink Talking.
So you look like you've got some beers for us today.
I have, just for a change.
Tell us about them.
Now, this is quite interesting, if I say so myself. Now, the whole boom in craft beer has been to some extent, at the expense of some very well-established regional breweries in the UK, like these old classic breweries that have been doing cask ale and real ale and family-owned. And they've historically have always been the kind of the artisan alternative to the big brands. But now, with this craft beer boom, they're sort of...
stuck in the middle.
They're sort of stuck in the middle. And they've got a lot of history that they have to sort of protect. So they can't go and be wild and wacky. And they don't want to lose their core audience who don't want to be trying triple hop double IPAs with the kind of packaging and marketing that doesn't look that cool because they're not cool because they're old and established. So there are breweries that are genuinely struggling. Fuller's is not one of them, but what they've been very good at doing is sort of maintaining their audience. Fuller's in Chiswick, West London, the sort of godfather of London brewing. People like Young's left London, but Fuller's have remained in the capital and remained steadfastly committed to London beer scene. Tom and I worked on a pub of theirs called the Union Tavern in Westbourne Park, where they redid the pub and said that they're just going to stock loads of beers from other breweries in London, which is unheard of because they can, I mean, if it's up to them, they can just have their own beers and that's fine. And so they've been very open historically to encouraging other brewers to flourish. And they've taken that a step further now by doing a thing called Fuller's and Friends, which is a 6 separate collaborations with some of the main up-and-coming and established craft brewers.
Oh, I like that.
So they've kind of, and the idea is that each brewer's come into the Fuller's brewery, the Griffin Brewery in West London, by the river. It's a lovely brewery. And paired off with one of 6 brewers within the brewery, and they've designed their own beer. They've made it, and they've packaged them into a box that is available through Waitrose.
Can I say, I love that idea. I love the fact that, I don't know, it's like holding out the hand of friendship.
Absolutely.
Saying, you know, we're massive and successful, but actually you're doing things in a different way and let's actually do something cool together. I really think that's... I like that whole collaborative approach.
Well, it is. I mean, obviously, as the market matures and money is getting harder to make, things do get more cutthroat. But it's amazing. I don't know whether this happens in other industries, but there is a lot of collaboration between the brewers and there's a lot of camaraderie.
Really?
Yeah.
Even amongst at the top level, the big boys?
Well, perhaps not the big boys, because then you're getting into big business. But definitely amongst...
Who's the biggest, do you reckon, in the UK?
I mean, in terms of brands that are brewed here in Britain. I mean, Stella's brewed here in Britain.
Isn't Stella French?
Yeah, but it's brewed in the UK.
It's Belgian, but...
It's Belgian, yeah.
I've been to the brewery, actually.
It's a Belgian
really
brewery.
Nice town, Leuven's nice.
Yeah, but it was weird. Even at its peak, Stella was a Belgian beer advertised with French imagery, but brewed in Wales, I believe.
Mm.
So it was all a little bit... confusing for the consumer.
The problem is, isn't it, that once you get onto that scale, if you want to consistently brew a beer that people like the taste of and everyone wants it, you're going to brew it globally and you're just going to have to try and meet the same standards in different countries.
Different people drink it for different reasons, don't
they? I mean, Fuller's
not...
don't have to do that.
So no.
Are they different styles?
Yes, they're different styles.
Ooh, I want to try
and
that
there
though.
Really are... with some great breweries. They've got Moore Brewery, who are based in Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
A guy called Justin Hall there, who we're going to go and visit. In fact, we're doing a gig in Bristol in a couple of weeks, actually. So we've got Four Pure out of Bermondsey. You've got Marble out of Manchester. Thornbridge, lovely guys up in Thornbridge, up in the Derbyshire Dales,
beautiful
near Bakewell, famous for tarts.
Go at school, you used to call me Bakewell.
Why? Because you were...
good at cakes?
No. Because you had...
I used to like Bakewell tarts.
Yeah. and Hardnought Brewery. So anyway, we are going to taste two.
Can we have that one as well?
Well, okay, we can taste three. We are going to...
Let's get on with it.
Last night I tasted them with my wife. My wife? And we picked two that we liked especially.
Okay.
Ooh, easy, nearly knocked one over. That would have been bad. So we're going to start off with a New England IPA. Now... this is brewed with the guys from Cloudwater, again, in Manchester.
That's a cool name.
Cloudwater are uber trendy. If you go to a geeky beer fest.
That's an amazing nose.
Orangey.
Yeah. Great head. A bit of smoke off the...
yeah, bit of smoke going off. Big head. the beer geeks or beer people who know the scene are going to go, oh, he's picked Cloudwater because they're cool. He's trying to be cool. They are cool and they are very cult. But this is genuinely, out of the lighter versions of these half dozen beers, I think this was the one that really stood out. Although the
delicious.
Other two are really good
this
as well.
This is amazing. This is good beer.
They are all brilliant. I just want to say, before we taste any of them, all six are great. One of them is a recreation of Fuller's ESB, which was first brewed, I think, 1971, without looking at my notes. And that is fantastic.
Didn't they go back to the original recipe?
Yeah, they went to the original recipe and recreated that.
That's great. That's good, because there's heritage in a brewery and
also,
there's innovation from these new guys.
It's just a really good way of Fuller's just going, look, we've got loads of expertise and experience. You've got loads of enthusiasm. I mean, I don't want to patronise the brewers that they've worked with because they're all, in their own right, absolutely knockout. Mm. Just sort of jogs things up a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
This is made with, having spoken to the guys at Fuller's, shitloads of hops.
Yeah.
I mean, they say mountain of hops on the side because it's Waitrose. But they've got Chinook and Simcoe from the US and Olicana from the UK. I've never heard of the Olicana.
No.
But anyway, they're all bottle conditioned. And this, I just think, is 7%.
Whoa.
But it's, and it doesn't drink
it
like that.
It doesn't. I mean,
it's very
flavourful. It's strong, but it's not,
lovely
it's
colour.
Not overpowering, is it?
I had it slightly more chilled last night, so it wasn't quite as bitter as it is now. I think it's fantastic. Cloudwater Brewery up in Manchester do really cool cans, really cool packaging, but what differentiates them from other brewers is that they brew a beer once and then very rarely brew it again. And so it's a continually rotating range
of beers.
Well, I'd
be guessing if you found one that you loved, then you can
get it. Well, that's the downside, but the upside is that there's curiosity and an appetite for their new beers all the time. So, and
that's
it's
brilliant.
All,
that's
okay.
Delicious.
That's a good,
so that's a good one.
I'm aware that I sometimes knock your beers.
I know. Well, I was bracing myself. So, which one did you want to try? Very quickly,
the
other one.
The
this
New
one,
Zealand one.
The New Zealand one. This is from, again, another Manchester collaboration with the Marlborough Brewery. Do some really good beers as well. They've been around a bit longer.
I like the design generally. I think it's contemporary.
Without
it's,
trying
isn't
to be
it
too,
funny?
Trying
isn't
too
it funny though now?
I'm taking pictures for Jane.
Yeah.
We're looking at them in brown bottles and already the ship has sailed. It's one thing I'd say about packaging now is I hope they're putting them in cans because I can imagine them in white cans with this design on is going to look really contemporary.
Make
and
them
the
pop.
Brown bottle now starting to look a bit
dated.
Dated, isn't it? So weird how quickly your perceptions change about what's contemporary packaging.
Oh, crikey. Yeah. That is very bananery. It tastes like a Belgian wheat beer.
Wow, that's you're doing very well, Sam. That's wonderful.
A plus from Ben.
Yeah. Well done.
Well done, Dan. Well,
your pretty little head has got Belgium meets New Zealand in a zesty, spicy ale. It has got wheat, oat, and rye, so a lot of different grains in
it's
there.
It's got a peppery finish to that. That's...
Yeah, and it's a saison again.
What's the alk on that?
The alk
on
that.
It's not
as
much as 7.
No, it's 5.8.
Still
they're
quite strong.
Yeah.
Are there any that are...
You wouldn't. I mean, given that saisons were designed for... drinking whilst working in the fields, it's probably a bit strong. You'd probably cut your hand off.
Don't go and send any work emails after a couple of those.
No.
Are there any in the series that are slightly less? I can see a 4.
The 4 Pure Galleon Dry Hop Lager is 4.8%. That's the lowest you're going to go. And that was nice and clean with a nice, very sort of...
What was the name of the first one we tried,
finish.
Though?
The first one we tried...
The New England IPA, was it?
It was the New England IPA. And this one is called...
The New Zealand Saison.
The New Zealand Saison. That's delicious.
Go and check them all out, though.
Yes.
Another one, please.
We're doing a lot of, and deservedly so, PR.
They've
here
knocked
for
this out of the park.
But, we did a collaborative crew with Brains over in Wales, didn't we? And actually, we won their award.
We did.
For their...
Even though we can say now that we went for lunch and the brewer, or maybe us, we weren't sure, didn't put the lid on the fermenting tank.
Oh. Yeah.
We came back after lunch and it was all over the floor.
Slightly different batch. Yeah. So these are not the only people doing this. This is a good way for regional brewers
but
to go generally.
No, but collabs are very prevalent at the moment. Lots of breweries are coming together, mainly because of distribution as well. Mm. Because if you're a small brewer down in London and you want to get your beers up to the Manchester crowd, then it's very difficult to do that without teaming up with a brewer in Manchester and going, well, look, can we piggyback your distribution and vice versa, we'll do it in London. So going forward, do you think there's going to be much more teaming up between brewers in the south and the north?
Oh, it's a good idea.
So that's seven, so this is a 7% beer.
Now this is stout.
This is called Pete Super.
And it is peaty.
Yeah, it's a smoked porter.
I'm going to introduce notes of coffee, mocha, and coffee
bean. Smoky coffee. But I couldn't drink a whole bottle of that, I don't think. I'd have that next to a whiskey.
Pete Super.
It's called Pete Super. It's made with malt that's been smoked with peat, so that's where you get just like you do with an Isle of Whiskey. And it's brewed with a hard
P-E-A-T,
not brewed.
P-E-A-T, not P-E-A-T. Someone called P-E-T-E.
No, it's been brewed with someone called Dave.
Oh, right.
Dave Bailey, who we actually met and have known for a while up in Milham when we did our show up in Milham, which is in Cumbria.
Just by the Lake District.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really nice.
And we drove from Paisley to Milham for the Lake District, and it was beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
And also, but we were in a... obviously we're in our Royal Mail van and it's really hilly and it just looked like Post
just
and Pat.
Just go and push it.
We got stuck behind... Panda cows.
What are panda cows?
With just a white stripe around the middle and then a black front and back end. So it's like they look a bit like pandas.
Awesome.
And they're kind of tiny, squat, and they're quite
hairy.
It was really funny. We thought it was really funny. And then we thought, but we do have a gig.
It was actually proper being in the country, wasn't it? And then we got to Milham and we just seen some panda cows.
No, that's a certain breed.
Yeah.
Good for eating.
Panda cows.
Yeah, I think they're better.
It's nice.
I live in the country and I do get stuck behind sheep mainly. Because I lived in the Ashdown Forest, there's bits of the forest where they introduce livestock, I think mainly for eating the grass and whatnot, and they just don't give a shit about the cars. They're just so used to everyone going up and down. And there's times I've been wanting to actually just get out and take a couple of photos because it is quite funny. They just sit there on the road and it was like, get out of my way. I'm doing a school run. or going for a coffee or something.
You should just do a U-turn.
Yeah, it's all getting a bit woolly.
No. Anyway.
This isn't one for the faint-hearted, is it?
No. So this is from the Hard Knot Brewery up there. He does a lot of good, quite big beers, so I wasn't surprised that this was big as well. And it's a smoked porter. It's a perfect one for sort of Christmas. It's a bit...
It's for granddads, isn't it?
It's a little bit...
It's just for a seasoned beer drinker, people who are at the moment experimenting with different beers, isn't it? I think what's nice about that selection there is we've had something
really
that we all liked, but it's still quite an assertive, sort of spicy, bitter, IPA. We've had a Saison, which has got a lot of flavour, but it's still quite light. And then we've gone in right at the end.
Well, what I now want to know is what the other three... There's six in the set, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the other one I think worthy of mention... Well, they're all really good, but the Thornbridge, the Flora and the Griffin, it's called, named after the two sort of emblems on their... of the breweries, is that they've made a red rye ale, so it's quite spicy. You've got spicy rye malt, and you've got these lovely aromatic American hops, and that is great as well. Mm. And they are... Thornbridge are another brewery that do really, really lovely beers. So they're doing a road show as well. They're travelling around the country doing tastings at the various breweries. So check that out on the Fuller's website, which I think is fuller's.co.uk.
We're all social media, yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Really good. Really good stuff.
Delicious.
I love Fuller's. Good, I love
Chiswick. One. Thanks, Ben. That was an excellent beer tasting. Two of my favourites.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased. I was worried you were going to hate it.
No, they weren't too interesting. They're delicious. Nice beers, Ben. Thanks very much. No pressure, Tom. You've got to be equally fascinating. What have you got in terms of a legend of liquor?
He's currently travelling around the world being celebrated for his prowess. His name is Desmond Payne, which might not mean anything to people initially, not least because he's quite a modest chap, but he is the master distiller at the Beefeater Distillery. And in this day and age of new and wacky gins, Desmond has been working within the drinks industry and this year celebrated 50 years of it. Now, there are a lot of startups at the moment who perhaps won't be here next year, but for him to have stuck around working on gins for 50 years, I think alone is worthy of a round of applause.
Yay! Well done, Desmond.
Well done, Desmond. That is a serious commitment to gin. There is no one, I think I'm right in saying, in the world who's distilled for as long as him. He's not retiring, no, not at all. He just celebrated the 50th year. Again, I'm sure he won't appreciate us talking about this because it's like 50 years is a long time, but to have stuck at it and been passionate about it for that long is quite incredible. And he makes Beefeater gin. Now, we've talked about gins a lot on the podcast before, and there are lots of new gins, and people are really happy to spend £30 on a gin. But we've also always said things like Tanqueray and Beefeater, which you can buy in the supermarket for under £20, remain.
Brilliant.
Whereas, say, Tanqueray is something that's really stuck to the guns of four botanicals. Beefeater's got a variety of botanicals and has really sort of pushed the idea of variety in your botanicals in gin. And it's a brilliant gin. And you can pick it up for...
But he's like, I remember seeing an interview with him, and he's a bit like the man from Del Monte, doesn't he? He goes around the world and picks all the botanicals. He actually goes and makes sure that they're all top notch.
Yeah.
What a wicked job. No one has done it for 50 years.
Yeah, I know.
Go around the world, make gin, pick botanicals.
I mean, it's tricky, especially on the scale. The scale of
and that's job security. He's doing a good job if he's been there 50 years.
Yeah. I don't think it's
good pension, I bet, as well.
Quite as easy as that, because obviously you have bad crops. Juniper is sort of an up and down, so I think sometimes it's pretty tricky, but you still get to hang out.
Does he wear like a cool white suit and a fedora?
He does wear a lab
like
coat,
the man from
he's in the distillery, so he's more of a science looking character.
He reminds me a bit of, is it Q or M?
He's got Q, that air about him.
Can I just pick up on the name Desmond? That's an unusual name.
Is it?
Well, I don't know any Desmonds.
Well, did you know there's not been a Nigel born in the last year?
Not recorded.
Was it definitely Nigel?
Yeah. Mm. Colin was the year before.
Anyway.
I don't know Desmond. I've never met a Desmond.
Well, do you remember now you know one.
But there was a comedy show called Desmond's about a barbershop. That was
good. Yeah, that was good. So Desmond started in 1967. Seven. Thank you, Ben. That was a maths quiz for you, and you passed.
I was still looking blank.
50 years. And he started in a gin distillery at Seeger's. But he moved to Plymouth Gin, where he was assistant distiller and moved up the ranks to become master distiller. Now, Plymouth is, he cut his teeth pretty much at Plymouth Gin and learned to make that one of the world's great gins. So it would appear that he was already pretty good at it. And then he moved over to Beefeater. But as well as doing the Beefeater gin for since 97, he's also launched gins into the category, which has helped a lot of this drive and passion for new luxury gins. So Beefeater 24 is one of his, and he went out there and researched all the different teas. A lot of the history of gin and the ideas of sourcing these botanicals coming from the spice trails, but also the tea blenders at the time. So he went back to that history of tea blending and then built some of those teas into Beefeater 24, which is a fantastic gin as well. More recently, he's done the Burroughs Reserve gin, where they rest the gin entirely in Lillet casks. That is an incredible gin as well.
Lillet being a type of wood?
Well, the Jean de Lillet casks are used in the Lillet... you know, Lillet, the aperitif wine?
Yeah,
they
use
Bordeaux grapes, actually, yeah. But it's a fortified wine.
Okay.
Beautiful. Oh, my God.
Let's introduce
you to
colour?
Lillet.
There's
a white one and a red one.
There is a red one. But
no, okay, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Oh, it's beautiful. They add a bit of citrus to it. And,
well, let's do one. Let's,
we'll taste it. We'll do aperitif wine. I'll do aperitif wine, like a vermouth and a wider aperitif wine. Oh, my God, it's amazing. But it's amazing with gin. And that's the beauty of putting some Beefeater into these casks. So the Vespa Martini, which would have been mixed with vodka, gin and Lillet. That Lillet just lengthens it a bit.
Lillet.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it on cocktail
branding.
Lists.
It's a great.
It's lovely.
Yeah. But I'm not familiar with it.
It's a good one.
Brilliant.
This is
okay,
really
cool.
I mean, I was out there not so long ago. Got flown down there by private jet. I didn't. Which is to their cost, really. I think next time.
I don't like
private
it.
Jet. And I'll be a bit more passionate
it would taste
about your
much
brand.
Better.
But it is beautiful down there. In fact, that's where I learned that a lot of the vineyards in France, obviously during the phylloxera epidemic, they're using Californian vines in Bordeaux. So I was like, what? So this isn't actually native to this land. Mm. What's that all about, Sam?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, they did have to, with phylloxera, pull a lot of the vines up. But I think they just graft a lot of the vines onto resistant rootstock.
Okay.
So I think,
but if the roots are completely dead, they could replace it from anywhere.
So you shouldn't believe everything you hear in a vineyard. I tell you, when I went to a vineyard, I think it was in Cognac or something, and the guy was talking about the old traditions that they used to use to plough up the fields and rake the turn over the soil in the vineyards and things like that. And he was telling us, and he said they used to use ploughs pulled by monkeys.
And, are you sure they didn't mean monks?
No.
I was like,
monkeys? And I was with a couple of other people looking at each other going, monkeys? Really? That's amazing. That's going in.
Yeah.
And then later on, I questioned him and he went, oh, no, I meant donkeys. Which was a shame, because if I hadn't asked him, if I'd double-checked...
Yeah, but you would have looked like a bit of a knob, because,
yeah, but
let's be honest...
Yeah, a good story.
You could have at least quoted him.
The quote would have been right.
He said, in quotes...
It's an ear, Jean-Pierre. You said that.
Well, there you go. But that's Lillet, and so Desmond did that, and it's quite pioneering, well, very pioneering at the time. Although he's been 50 years in the gin industry, he's sort of gone with it as it's become more innovative, and now we're all celebrating gin again. He's sort of gone through the harsher times for gin, where it was seen for the, you know, blue rinse brigade, and everyone thought it made you a bit boohoo. And now, rightly, sort of enjoying his moment of celebration. I think if you're having a glass of gin, you need to
raise it.
You need to raise it to people like Desmond, because he's been at it for a long time.
A stalwart of the industry,
yeah, and a real, genuine, passionate advocate of a spirit that we love. And more people, including our listeners, are getting into.
And also, he's doing it in London.
Where is Beefeater HQ?
Kennington. And open now to
visitors.
Yeah, they've got a visitor centre.
Oh, I might do that.
Yeah, really worth it.
Can you sort out VIP?
Yeah, we can go down there. Anyone can go. You just have to book it in.
Wicked.
And it's worth it if you love gin, because you get a bit of gin in there and learn more about it. So that's Desmond. Thank you, Desmond.
Nice one.
I enjoyed that. I thought that was excellent. And it's made me slightly thirsty. Roll on, gin o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, that was another scintillating, informative, educational and entertaining podcast from myself, Tom and Ben. Until next week, bye for now.
Cheers.
Cheerio.
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.